Here's the editorial in today's Chicago Tribune. Forced Clay Pools, self-inflicted wound. And then they tell the story about the CEO of the Chicago Public Schools and the investigation into what happened. They say Ronald Marmer, the district's general counsel, violated the Chicago Public Schools ethics codes. He was receiving annual severance payments from a past employer, a firm called Jenner and Block, but at the same time, he was supervising that law firm's work on a lawsuit with the Chicago Public Schools. You can't have it both ways. CPS prohibits its employees from holding an economic interest in district contracts and bans employees from managing contracts with entities with which they have a business relationship. So it's a clear conflict of interest. But for some reason, Forrest Claypool didn't agree with that. And so he went through six lawyers and finally found a seventh one who said, yeah, it's okay that this guy is doing that. You don't need to really tell anybody about it. And then on the invoice for this, he actually asked somebody to change the wording on it so that it wouldn't say ethics investigation check, but rather personnel matter. And so when Nicholas Schuler finds out about this, he said, boy, that's a big problem. The Tribune in their editorial today said, though, that he should not lose his job. Nicholas Schuler joins us now on WGN. Nick, it's John, and thanks for joining us this afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
What do you want to add to my telling of that story?
Well, I disagree with the Tribune's editorial that he shouldn't be fired. I think he, Forrest Claypool was caught ordering changes to a document, the invoice you mentioned. He found a change caused another bill that didn't meet another invoice from another attorney who gave him an opinion that he wasn't satisfied with. He caused that bill not to be paid. And what really makes this, what magnifies the wrongdoing here exponentially is that he lied to, investigators in my office through two interviews about that.
Can you tell me specifically about that? I've heard that, but I don't know exactly how that went down. Was it a direct question about that exactly? And did he exactly lie about that in that instance?
Yeah, I mean, he in the first interview, he said he hadn't made changes to the bill, and then he basically repeated that to the second interview, even after he was shown documents that put him squarely at the center of those changes, that, he said he wasn't looking at bills. He wouldn't be involved in billing matters. He said, there was clear evidence that that the changes were sent back to him via a courier to his attention for Forrest Claypool's eyes only in bold, and he denied, being involved in ordering the changes. So it was clear that he didn't.
Why did he finally admit? I wonder. Maybe I'm asking the wrong person, but why did he finally then agree that I was not telling the truth?
Well, I think we said this in our report. I mean, he was caught squarely in a lie, and he thought he had to address it somehow or another.
Why would he lie about it anyway? What did he have to gain by allowing this attorney to work for both sides? What's in it for him?
Well, I think we believe him when he says he thought he had assembled the dream team to work on this school funding litigation, that he thought that the state wasn't paying fairly for the amount it should be paying for the Chicago Public School students. So, he had the general counsel and he had this firm, Jenner & Block, working. So I think he didn't want to break that up lightly. I do believe that. But I also believe that, there was a controversy about his general counsel, this guy, Mr. Marmer's appointment in the first place, because he had been a campaign contributor. And there was some controversy when he was appointed in 2015, in the autumn of 2015, about that matter, that people were calling into question whether a former campaign contributor of his should be involved, he should be hiring somebody like that. So I think he was trying to avoid the controversy from getting legs anymore the second time. You know, he didn't want a second controversy to get legs, and I think they started down a series of, you know, they took a series of actions after the investigation was, you know, our investigation was known. The matter was, you know, was reported in the press. And so he'd been on the record, you know, he'd been on record in both newspapers in Chicago, both major papers, saying, you know, that he was happy to talk to the inspector general's office or anybody else who might ask him questions. He even said he would be happy to walk us through it.
Yeah.
And then so, you know, and then after that, you know, after those statements, we have the you know, he's ordering changes to the bill. And then, you know, then remarkably, he's lying, you know, through two interviews is what we concluded.
So here's the Tribune again today. They say lying to the ethics watchdog is a serious matter, but we think Claypool now understands that. So he's got religion now, number one. And then they say this: ask yourselves, are Chicago's school children better off today because Claypool leads the district? We think the answer is an unqualified yes. Do you agree with that? Do you have an opinion about how good a job he's been doing?
You know, I think I'm going to, you know, I haven't really evaluated that per se, but, you know, even if, just for the sake of argument, assume that's true, you know, that's sort of a, you know, the ends justify the means argument. And what I would counter to that is, even if that is true, and even if you believe that, you know, we, you know, it would set a horrible, horrible precedent to say that the, you know, a sophisticated, you know, executive at the top of a $5.5 billion annual budget organization, you know, could somehow, you know, just because he's doing a good job, is permitted to lie, you know, and change documents during an investigation, and then after the fact, you know, get religion, as you say. It would just set a terrible precedent.
Well, we live in strange times, don't we, Mr. Inspector General? I mean, the president lies every day, and Forrest Claypool's predecessor lives in jail now. So we really do live in an ends justifies the means time.
I disagree with that completely. I'll never sign up for that proposition, and I don't think anybody.
Well, I don't like it. I don't like it, but I see evidence of it all the time. And the Tribune is evidently comfortable enough with that if you're doing a good job, they argue that he should keep his job. You disagree?
You know, just imagine what would happen if that were allowed to be the case, that you could lie during an official investigation to keep your job. Then, you know, anybody else who ever lied in an official investigation at CPS to my office or somebody else wouldn't, you know, they, as long as, you know, they afterwards they just said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake." They'd be, you know, they'd probably be able to keep their job. Is there a terrible precedent that they could, you know, at a hearing or anything else, be able to say that, "Oh, they kept the CEO, so lying by me is okay too."
Well, and how does it make you feel about your job if, in fact, you investigate the head of the schools for lying and you catch him and, okay, he lied, but then he gets to keep his job anyway, then what's the point of the investigation? Do you feel a little bit like that?
Well, no, I don't feel it's about, you know, a wasted effort in this investigation one way or the other. You know, we found the evidence as we saw it. You know, we called it as we saw it, and, you know, we made recommendations to the board. And you know, the real danger is what would happen, you know. I mean, the real danger is that, you know, it would just be untenable to have somebody who would be allowed to keep their job in this instance. That would just send a terrible message, you know, and it's a terrible message to send to a government, you know, an organization at large, yeah, a government body. But, you know, here we're in the business of educating children, and, you know, a big part of what of educating children is teaching them to be good citizens. And it would just be a terrible message.
Nicholas Schuler's on the phone line. He's the Inspector General of the Chicago Board of Education. His department's investigation into the president, into the CEO of the public schools, found that he was lying. And so one more thing about this, though. The Tribune also suggests that there's friction between you and Mr. Claypool, and that may have something to do with it. Would you care to comment on that at all?
the friction.
One more factor, they wrote. Here's what they say. One more factor. From what we've heard, there's plenty of friction between Claypool and Shuler. They've battled over the IG's report on problems at the school, at the Cook County Jail, for example. We don't know where all of this is headed. I don't know what they're talking about there.
Yeah, so I think they're talking about for the first time ever, our office was criticized by the central office for the schools after after we had issued a report, and they called our report into question. We stand by our report. The nature of that attack is it was unprecedented. It was the first time. I think it's ungrounded, and it happened in the middle of this investigation. So, you know, that attack in itself has questions swirling around it. So, there's friction. There was also friction. Much of the public friction has been about our access to information in this very case over attorney-client privilege materials, which, you know, I had to put up a pretty stiff battle with the Board of Education itself to get them to put in a limited waiver of attorney-client privilege so I could get access to the attorneys in this case and the documents and be allowed to talk to people. And critically, that's where the information that made this separation case came from.
So do you feel does the board or does the administration in the Chicago Public Schools give you the support you need to do your job?
I think inspector generals always feel like they get a little more support, but I think I'll limit my comments to this case. I think once a logjam in this investigation was cleared when they stopped asserting the attorney-client privilege and we were allowed to proceed as in a normal investigation, get access to records and personnel pursuant to our statute, mm-hmm. then, in the end of the day, I think we got adequate support for the investigation per se. Now it's, and time will tell what the board decides about, Mr. Claypool's employment status.
You don't have an in on that? You don't know what's going to happen?
I do not.
Well, on that note, then, we'll say thank you for your time this afternoon, Nicholas. It's a fascinating conversation, fascinating story, and I think we're intrigued by how this played out, as well as the outcome itself. Just the very process has been very interesting. The Inspector General for the Chicago Board of Education. Thanks for your time this afternoon, Nicholas.
My pleasure. Thank you.